Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to worship this morning? Good to see you all here. No.
Are we singing?
No.
Oh.
No. You can sing and you make melody in your heart all day long, all week long. You shouldn't need us to come. I mean, not that it's not important, but you should be able to do it without us doing it here. So, all week long. Praise the Lord. Am I on? I don't feel like I'm on. Well, I'm on, but I don't hear myself. So, test 1, 2. I have my green light. No, I got a red light now. Praise you, Jesus. Why is my red light not going off?
Is it battery?
I don't know. Could it be my battery? All right, we'll start without it.
I can hear you, no problem.
I'm sure you can all hear me, can't you?
Yes.
And Harry's picking it up here, so we should be good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Be
well, let's just open in prayer. And then Irene has a couple videos we want to show you.
Good.
And then we'll move on into the message. Amen? Father, we just come with thankful hearts this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness again to us, Father God. We thank you for this time where as the body of Christ, this local body, we can come and worship, we can gather together to honor you, to praise you, to hear from you, Father God. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And even if we've heard something before, Father, we just thank you that you bring revelation, knowledge through your word, Father, as we have open hearts and receptive hearts to what it is that you're saying to us. Preparing us for the days that we live in, preparing us for what we're to walk in, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You got a green?
Yep, got a green. Got to plug it in.
Thank you. So, those of you that have been around are aware that we received a free will offering, non-receivable, for Lebanon relief, and just want to let you know that did go out this week. $980 came in, Canadian. Pastor Irene and I bumped it up to whatever was necessary, to $1,000 Canadian, not exactly knowing what the exchange would be, because until you make the process, you don't know. So, $725 US went down to the States, and this is a video of, there's your receipt, just so you all know that it happened. Well, because it's not receipted, we want to be above board and open and show you that.
That's right, good idea.
And this is a video from them just thanking you for what you're doing in Lebanon with the relief. Oh. Sorry, Harry.
Can you read that?
It says, thousands of dollars have already been dispersed. You provided basic supplies, including things like rice, water, and diapers. You've given over 1,000 meals for those doing cleanup outreach. You've supported 5 church outreach teams as they show God's love to the 300,000 displaced and hurting people in Beirut. You've replaced glass blown out by the blast in believers' homes and cars who could not afford to repair it themselves. You've provided funds for rebuilding churches so they can be used for worship again. One pastor was in tears as we told them how, because of your generosity, he would have the funds to start the repairs to his church. You've provided personal financial support for pastors who have given everything they have to help others. Thank you, Matt and Julie Beamer, Club 1040.
Cracks that happens
beside our relief work of distributing hundreds of sandwiches and hot meals and water and preaching the gospel to all the neighborhood and the people affected by the blast. And now everything is in the move. The old donut, the curtains, the glass, the structure of the glass, the aluminum, and even we have a chandelier here coming down from the ceiling. It fell off, and it happened that the person that is filming this small video, the person who's filming was behind the camera, happened to be just standing here when this happened, and he just had a minor injury in his shoulder, but nothing really serious, and God spread his life. And this is our control room. If you look up, this is our nursery. This is where the kids stays, and babies, as a matter of fact, the nursing babies with their mommies, they sit over there. And you can see
I think that was the three. So it's, I mean, you're not seeing the worst of the devastation, but it's the video they got, I guess. So just to reiterate, Lebanon is the only, quote, Christian Arab nation. Lebanon considers themselves to be a Christian nation. And so we're just glad to be a part of that. Glad that we have a channel that where we know there's integrity, that every dollar you sent is going to do what it's supposed to do. You know, it's not getting, it's so often, you know, you see some of the big charities, and when you look at what actually gets to the ground, to the people that need it, it's just not always there. So we know Matt and Julie, they're part of, when we go down for Winter Bible, and we stay for the extra couple days as international directors. They are the international directors in Lebanon, Middle East, Egypt, Nigeria, I think. So North Africa there. And just glad that you could help. Amen. And they did shoot an email right back when that money went down. And just to say thank you, you know, for your part. When we sent our 725 US, I believe 22,000 had come in at that point that they had already dispersed. So, we've seen other videos from, Matt and Julie Hadabaugh, who are actually on the ground. They were in Lebanon when the blast hit. And, you know, it's something as simple as making 400 sandwiches for lunch, just, walk around the city with and feed people that haven't had meals for days. And just practical Christian love in action. So glad you could be a part of it. If you still would like to contribute, it's not too late. This relief will be going on for a while. We just felt it was important to get down what we could. And again, I want to say, before you give, so we're up and upfront about it, these are non-tax receivables. They're not going through the church. And the reason for that, as a Canadian charity, it's very difficult for us to send funds outside of Canada, right, without having something called an agency agreement, which then brings in lawyers. And by the time you do that, what you just brought in has got used up by the lawyers. And it doesn't, you know, we're just helping them. So It's non-receivable. I've always been of the opinion if our reason for giving is for our tax receipt, we're giving for the wrong reason anyways. Amen. It's an added blessing, but even if it was taken away, it shouldn't stop us from doing what God says to do. Amen. I also just want to make you aware that hurricane that went through, Hurricane Laura, it wasn't as bad. I spent much of the night that they were saying it was going to hit praying. I'm sure, you know, I know there was lots of people praying. We have a lot of people on the ground in those areas. And what kept coming up in me is that it wouldn't be as bad as what they were saying it was going to be. They were talking about 20-foot, 6-meter storm surge. And it didn't happen. Now, there were still, you know, some serious deaths and lots of damage, but not nearly as bad as it was a 150-year storm, one of the worst they've ever had. So, but the damage, and so even there, you know, I haven't had it on my heart that we're to do anything there. They're well supported in the U.S. They're going to get government relief, and, you know, where Lebanon doesn't have that. So, but it's still something to keep in prayer. Amen. There's hurting people. It's what I've said for, and I think I said it several years ago when some of those storms blew through. If our trust isn't in this and in our Lord Jesus Christ and in God our Father, we haven't got much to hold on to. Because one blast, one big wind, one big wave, and it's all gone. Amen. You know, and you can think that that's where your security is, but the truth is there's really no security in any of that. When they were talking about this 6-meter storm surge, they were saying it's unsurvivable if you're stuck in that, right? You just imagine, you know, you think you're going to climb up in your attic and be safe. Well, the water's still higher than your attic. And then you got the 150-mile-an-hour winds on top of it. Our trust has to be in this. This has to be our foundation. Amen? Because just like that, it can all be gone. You know, look at Job's life. In a heartbeat, it turned around. Now, he brought it on himself, but in a heartbeat, it all turned around. Amen? But thank God, we got an anchor. And his name is Jesus. Amen? If you need an envelope for your giving this morning, you can fill it out. And then our procedure, as we'll just reiterate or say again, is just on your way out this morning, just put it in the basket on the desk there by Pastor Irene so nobody else has to handle it. And we are getting a little slacker on our masks, I see. We should be still doing that. So now, I'm not in favor of it, okay? I'm not saying it for that benefit. I'm just saying we're picking our battles. I read a thing yesterday, and I had commented on it, and then it was one of those where through the middle of the night I had to get up and take my comment down again. Yeah. So I've been doing better, but I still had to do it. And so early this morning I was taking off comments that I said, Lord, I'm sorry if I missed the cue that I was. And I did have I shouldn't be doing this, but I did it anyways. And then through the night, I got woken up about it. And you know, and I've been saying to you, I want to be quick to if I'm corrected, I want to be quick to obey. Amen. And so I was corrected, and I just said, Lord, I just hope nobody's seen this. It's something I would share personally with any one of you that want to see but it's not something that I want in the public domain. So anyway, so if you're ready with your, are you ready with your giving? Again, we want to just thank everybody that's been doing it by e-transfer. And however else, mostly it's just been from here now or e-transfer, but we just appreciate your giving. And we're still here, praise God. Amen? Let's just pray. Just whether you've been e-transfer or you're giving now, we'll include all of it. Father, we come and thank you this morning again for your faithfulness to us. We just thank you, Father, for everyone in here this morning, everyone that through the week has been obedient to your word to give back to you of the tithe, to give back to you that which you've entrusted to them. And Lord, we just thank you that the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And you said in Malachi that if we would give of you the tithe, that if we would not rob you, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on us, such as we cannot receive, cannot contain. And Lord, that just sets us up to walk in the covenant, to be where we're blessed to be a blessing, where we have the opportunity to give in situations like what's happened in Lebanon, like what's happened in the South, or even here closer to home as things happen, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for the offerings this morning, for those that have just given over and above, just given because it's in their heart to do it. We just thank you for a blessing on them. Lord, I'm reminded again of Chris's testimony of last week of how quickly you can bring that multiplication, you can bring that increase to them. We believe it this morning, Father God. Your word is yes and amen, and we believe it, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me this morning, and I'm going to continue on. We've kind of taken a little bit of a shift in the last little while, but I'm still, everything I've been saying in the last weeks is still kind of coming out of when the Lord spoke to me and said that we were sitting in the seat of grace. And we've kind of moved a little bit, you know, in a little different direction concerning that, but I just had it in my heart this morning that it was good to go over that base scripture again, because we haven't done it for a little while. And before we do, I want to share this. Where did it go? Let me just, I'll get it. Bear with me. It was good and it was important, so. Pastor Irene was so gracious this week. My computer was frozen and locked up, and she came to my rescue. But to come to my rescue, she had to erase my history. So I've been trying to find some of these quotes that I've been kind of using. And now this is a fresh one. It came to me, it was August 28th. And before I read this scripture again, I want to read this, because I think it's very, very important. And Brother Hagin used to say it this way. He said he would go over the same subject material sometimes over and over and over. And if you know, he was known for teaching on faith, right? But he never quit teaching on faith. He just went over it and over and over. And his comment would be, when you get this, we'll move on.
Amen.
And then week after week, he would do the, you know, or year after year, he would kind of, so, but he would say that. He said, when you get this, we'll move on. And this came to me yesterday, on 28th, so Friday. And this is from Tony Caminetti. He's the director of Rhema Australia. So how many of you are familiar with Patsy? He's kind of like Pastor Irene and I. The wife is actually better known outside of the church. He's the pastor of the local church, but she's better known internationally probably. And so it's, and him and his wife are the directors of Rhema Australia. So he says here in Mark 4:24, and he, being Jesus, said to them, pay attention to what you hear, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you.
Yeah.
Mark 4:25, for to the one who has will more be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then Tony says, It all starts with the tent of hearing. The measure we use is the value we place on what we hear, how we receive it, believing what we hear. The opposite would look like this. I've heard that before, whatever, and so on.
Whatever.
And you wonder, well, why are you saying that now, Pastor? Because I'm going to read a scripture this morning that you've heard over and over and over the last several months. And I just don't want you sitting here going, well, I heard that already.
Amen.
All right? And so it's the opposite would look like, I've heard that before, whatever, and so on. And remember, it says that whatever you know, to the one who has, more will be given, unless your attitude is wrong concerning what you're hearing. Then it'll be taken away.
Yeah.
And we want you to move forward. Amen?
Amen.
I want me to move forward. Amen? He goes, the one who hears, receives, believes, and acts on this word, the one who is uninterested, devalues, or rejects his word, is the one who has nothing. Did you hear that? When you reject, you know, and it's so easy to do. You know, I've made a point that, you know, if you, it, well, especially, and I'm not saying it's like that for all of you, but because so many of my Facebook acquaintances are pastors, there's scripture on my Facebook wall all day long of some kind. And I've been a kind of where I would just scroll past it. And the more and more lately I've been, I need to be attentive to the word of God. So if it's a scripture, now I make a point of, I mean, you know, if I'm looking at their post, I make a point of, I'm going to read this because it's important that I read it. Because when I just scroll over it, it's like, well, I'm disinterested. It's, you know, I know that, you know, that's kind of how you think. I know that, right? Well, maybe I don't know it all. Maybe there's something in there that God's going to speak to my heart by looking at it afresh. So I personally have been making an endeavoring to just not scroll through it, but actually to read it. It says, in the realm of spiritual things, we see the rich getting richer. He who has will be given more. He who has, you know, he who doesn't value the word, even what he has will be taken away. And we use that scripture for finances, but it's not really a financial scripture. It's a spiritual principle, but Jesus is talking about the word of God when he says that. So he says, this isn't referring to finances. It's referring to the understanding of God's word. Let's all be spiritually rich. And the truth is, the financial side of it will come as well when we honor and value the spiritual side of the word. It's a package deal. Amen? I've been, you know, just to, you all know that I've been confessing a reset. And I was at first, and that was a word from the Holy Ghost that came on March 6th to me. And I took it for myself. And like I said, you know, I'm wearing clothes and putting on belts that haven't fit for years because things are going in the right direction. I'm sleeping better. But about 2 or 3 weeks ago, as I was confessing that reset for my body, the Lord dropped it into my heart that I should be confessing a reset spirit, soul, and body because it's a package deal. Amen? So I've changed how I confess. And actually by doing it, saying spirit, soul, and body, I'm actually getting the order right. Amen? Because if my spirit's strong, Proverbs tells me that if my spirit's strong, then healing is going to work in my body, right?
Yeah.
But if my spirit isn't strong, then the body has nothing to put its foundation and its anchor on. So I'm just saying that to say that, you know, even when we say that the word is, we want you to be spiritually rich, it's a package deal. When you're rich in your spirit, it's going to start manifesting through your soul and it's going to start showing up through your body and in your life. Amen? I can honestly say, I was thinking about it yesterday. I went up north and I was driving and by myself. And I was thinking about, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm sure a lot farther than where I was.
Amen.
You know, the things that I can do today without giving second thought to it are not things that I could do when my, you know, think, and I say it this way, things that, because I saw my grandkids yesterday, things I can do for my grandkids today are not things that I had the ability to do for my own children when they were little. Why? Because there's progression.
Amen.
Right? As we've matured and grown spiritually, the other things come along with it. Amen?
Amen.
A little side trip. So I shared that to say, just because we're reading this scripture again, don't shut yourself down. Don't sit and go, I've heard it before. Well, I wouldn't be sharing it again if I thought we had it all.
Amen?
Amen? I know I haven't. I watched Brother Bill there a couple weeks ago, and I saw something out of John, and we'll look at it today. I saw something out of John that concerning this that I'd never seen before, sitting in the seat of grace. Amen? Even though we've been ministering on it for months. So go with me to verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. And here we go again. This is our key scripture. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Sitting in the seat of grace. "By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And you could be sitting there going, "What do you mean he raised me up and seated me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I'm sitting on a chair in a room in Wichert, Stouffville. I'm not sitting in heavenly places, Pastor." Yes, you are.
Amen.
The word says you are.
Amen.
Amen? And you have to take that by faith that you are. Let's go on. So that in the, and that's not going to happen. If you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you've made Jesus Lord and Savior, and you're born again, that is a reality for you right here, right now.
Amen?
Amen? So you're sitting here, but you're also sitting there. Amen? And you think of grace as God's favor, you know. God doesn't have to look over very far to pour his favor on you because you're right beside him. Amen? If Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where are you? You're at the right hand of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
It says, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not as of yourself, it's the gift of God. And now just go with me to Ephesians or John chapter 3. For those of you that were here Wednesday night, you would have seen this. I would have showed the clip, but it gets confusing for Pastor Irene if I do throw too much stuff. That's not pulling away from her in any way, okay? I'm not saying it that way. It can be overwhelming to keep it all separate if I throw too much out there. Anyway, so Jesus, and the gist of Bill Johnson's message that we, those of you that were here Wednesday night would have seen, is Jesus would always teach using earthly principles or things that were happening on earth and then tying it to how the kingdom of God worked. So when I said to this lady, the Bible is full of seed time and harvest, God uses natural seed time and harvest to illustrate how the kingdom of God works, how the kingdom of heaven works. Amen? So Jesus uses two very natural things. Let's go to verse 5 when Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And verse 5 says, Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So what happens when a woman is about to give birth? Water breaks. So there's the natural. Amen? You're born of water and the Spirit. The Spirit, of course, being the spiritual side. He says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. So obviously Nicodemus was marveling. Kind of, how can this be? Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now look what he's using natural things again. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound. Is that true?
Yes.
I stepped outside this morning, and it was a nice cool breeze. I stepped outside here when I got here, went around, we had a tree cut down yesterday. And I went around, and I felt the breeze, and I came back in and I said, hey, let's open these windows and let some fresh air through this place.
Praise God.
Right? So that's why the windows are open. So Jesus is saying, you hear the wind, or the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound. I could feel it, but I don't know where it comes from and I don't know where it's going, other than I know it's coming in that window and going out my office. Mm-hmm. Amen? So Jesus is saying that here, and then he says, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" And Jesus said, "Are you a teacher of Israel?" Remember, Nicodemus was one of the spiritual leaders. He was one of the Pharisees. "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness of what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe it if I tell you heavenly things?" If you can't grasp the simple principles here, how can you grasp the weightier principles of how the kingdom of God works? Amen? And what comes to mind again when I read that and when I think on that is seed time and harvest. Other parts of the Bible say a farmer sows his seed and he doesn't know what's happening, but he just knows that it's going to sprout, it's going to produce the stem, you know, the ear, or the leaf, the ear, and then full grain in the ear, however, to that effect. And a farmer doesn't go into his field and in that 10-day period between that seed being sown and that first little green shoot coming out of the ground, he's not out there digging up every one of his seeds to see what's happening. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? If he did that, he wouldn't have a harvest.
Amen.
Right? Because he would be disturbing that seed in a time when that seed can't be disturbed. And so Jesus is saying, if you don't get the natural stuff, if you don't get what I'm telling you here on earth, how are you going to lay hold of when I make the parallel to how the kingdom of God works? But the kingdom of God works in way more glory and splendor. Amen?
Amen.
And so he says here, no one, this is the point I really want to get to. Well, let me go back to verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? What are we talking about? You're sitting in the seat of grace. We read in Ephesians 2, and I've said for weeks, go back to Ephesians 1 and read the Ephesian prayers concerning what Paul prayed over the church. Amen. But you're sitting in the seat of grace. You're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so here Jesus says in verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven. And then he identifies who that is, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Till. Right? Or am I the only one that's doing that? Like, tilt. Lord, what are you saying here? Mm-hmm. Let's read it again. No one has ascended to heaven. Ascending is going up, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven. And then it identifies who that is. Even the Son of Man
who is in heaven.
Well, Jesus is on the earth talking to Nicodemus. And yet he's identifying that the Son of Man is in heaven. What's this? And remember, this is before Jesus was crucified. He wasn't yet dead, buried, defeated Satan, and rose again and presented his blood. This is before that happens. And he's talking as if it's happening now. It's not a future tense. So what's Jesus saying? He says, I'm here on the earth as the Son of Man. Amen? He's the Son of God as well. But Philippians says he put his Godhead on hold and he did what he did as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. And I'll say it again. And because of that, you and I have the same ability in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, because the Holy Ghost is on you and I. Amen? And you can say that Jesus had no advantage. And the only way that he would, you know, and I'll qualify it in that he had the Holy Spirit without measure.
And he did.
Amen? That's not our case necessarily. But you have the Holy Ghost to do what God's called you to do.
Amen.
I read a thing from, how many of you remember Anthony Washington? We had the black singer that we had here minister a couple years ago. He put a thing up this week, actually talking about something that Tony Caminiti had posted, and he said it's more important for me to fulfill my assignment than it is for me to fulfill my dreams.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yep,
it is. It's more important to me to fulfill my assignment than it is for me to fulfill my dreams. Now, that doesn't mean that your dreams and your assignments aren't connected. Did you hear me? That doesn't mean your dreams and your assignments aren't connected. God's the one that gives you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
And sometimes those desires are...
just put aside for a while.
Yeah, put aside or delay, not delayed even, but they're not for today. But that doesn't mean they're not from God or for you. And what we can actually sidestep what our assignment is by pushing in too hard for what we think our dream is.
Good.
Amen. Let me share that. I had spoken to Joe, I don't know, 2 weeks ago maybe, and I had talked about how part of our ministry vision is still to have a motor coach, an RV, if you want to call it, you know. And when we first started looking at them in 1997, how many years is that? 23 years ago. They were expensive things. And I'm still looking at them today. I looked yesterday. I looked at two yesterday, one online and one as I was driving by. And, you know, when we were looking 23 years ago, it almost seems like that part of the dream to help fulfill the assignment was for next week, 23 years ago. Here it is 23 years later, and that hasn't come into our life yet, and I don't believe that's because we've missed it or God's missed it. I believe it's partly because the timing for that to happen hasn't been there. But the dream has not gone away in 23 years. But I would be missing it if I put all my focus and attention on fulfilling the dream and letting go of the assignment that I'm called to do right now.
That's right.
Do you see how I'm saying that? That there's both?
Yes.
But we've got to put our focus and our attention onto the assignment. And it's in doing the assignment that then the dream can become fulfilled. Because he gives you the desires of your heart. Now, I do say once in a while, Lord, I don't want to be driving one of those things when I'm 103.
Yeah, right on.
I do mention that once in a while. You know, at 85, it gets, you know, carrying the licenses you need to do that. You know, you got to be tested every year and this and that. Where right now, I don't have that. I have to pass a medical every 3 years, but that's been easy. Way easier than my wife thinks it should be. She goes, I don't think your doctor, he just writes in that form and writes anything he wants. He doesn't. He actually does check some things. It's most to do with, you know, your heart condition, your eyesight. They don't want you to have a heart attack behind the wheel, stuff like that. So I say that to say that Jesus, in this scripture here in John, was living as he was living as a man, as the Son of Man, but he said, who is in heaven? So how did Jesus descend? I said Christmas is 4 months away. It's not a trick question. So the first way Jesus descended, now Jesus was here before that, okay? Get that. You know, when Joshua said he saw the captain of the host, he was talking to Jesus.
Yep.
All right, so Jesus appeared in the old covenant. But he came as a man, as a baby, born in a manger, 100% human.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
So he descended. But what he did as he studied and learned who he was and what his mandate was, what his assignment was, and he did that by studying the Bible, looking at the Old Testament prophets. You know, when he was 12, they were astonished what he knew. How did he know what he knew? He spent time seeing what the prophets said about him. And then he started to go, hey, Mom, I think this is me. That's how it would have happened. Hey, Mom, I think this is me. And then in Luke 4, he quotes Isaiah 61 and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he begins his ministry. He begins his God-given assignment. Amen? And in that, it says here, let's go with me again. Verse 13, no one who has ascended to heaven, except he who descended from heaven, even the Son of God who is in heaven. So what's Jesus saying? He says, I'm walking here in the earth as a man, but I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm drawing out of the kingdom of heaven and bringing it to the earth to do what I got to do here. Amen? And he was under grace. How many of you believe Jesus was under grace? The Bible says it twice. He says he increased in wisdom and favor before God and man. What's grace? The favor of God. So Jesus was under favor. But so are you. Amen? You're under favor this morning. I'm going to read one more thing here a minute. If I can find it. Nope, that's not it. No, I don't know which one it was. Oh, here it is. So this is from Lynn Hammond from Friday as well. And when I read what she wrote, think in terms of Jesus right here, as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, doing what God called him to do. And the reason I'm sharing this is for you to put yourself in that place to say that the same way Jesus could receive and minister and do what he was called to do, because the grace of God is on me, because I'm seated in grace, that same grace can be on you to do exactly the same things. Now, it'll be your assignment, all right? You know, Harry's not going to receive the same thing that Joe receives or that Tom receives, because the grace for what he's called to do might be different than the grace that Tom is called to. You know, and one of the things that Bill Johnson shared from a few weeks, if you remember, those of you who were here on the Wednesday night, you know, sometimes the grace of God that the ministry you do is nothing more than you got a family that is coherent and makes sense, and the kids actually love their parents. Right? And he said, you know, this may be your assignment from God, just to have a whole healthy, wholesome family. Right? And you don't realize that people on the outside are looking in. They don't necessarily want to know about the God that's helping you to put this family in the way it is. But they see something in your life that they want, and that's your ministry. Amen?
Amen.
You know, they might come to you and just say, I just want my kid to like me. What do I got to do? Here's a great example, and I'm not trying to pull anybody down, but you know, one of the president's very advisors, she was his campaign manager in the last election, and their own daughter wants to be emancipated from her family. You know, so here's somebody with fame, prestige, power, whatever, but her own kid doesn't even want to be a part of what's going on. And that's not a slam to this, you know, I'm just saying that family is looking for family dynamic unity. How do you get that? And there might be grace on your life to have that. I came out of a family where it was a little bit like that. My dad was never financially really successful, but he had his family together. He did. You know, I can remember one Christmas, and you were already a part of the family, I think, weren't you, Irene? One Christmas, an anonymous person had given $100 to every one of the kids, the spouses, the grandkids, just because they said, we've been looking in and we liked what we saw. Wow. To this day, we don't know who that was. But that was a big deal when that happened.
Well, yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just saying that was part of what my parents were called to do, is to show what a, you know, there's 86 of us and 84 of us are serving the Lord.
Praise God. Way to
And that's, I give credit to my parents.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we didn't have bumps in the road. Doesn't mean there wasn't things, you know. I went through a season where this wasn't for me, but I came home.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that, well, I quote it every night, all my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. Amen. And then I go, that means the ones that married into the family, and that means my grandchildren. I'll add that. Amen? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It's better if he never leaves, but he's coming home.
Amen.
Amen? So I say that to say the graces on us can be different. So this is what Lynn Hammond said. And think in terms of Jesus doing his earthly ministry as a man. All right? It says here, it's interesting to me that Jesus, this is Lynn Hammond speaking, it's interesting to me that Jesus, the Son of God, who was also under the law of prayer, he came on a direct mission from the Father. His only life and the law of his life was to do the will and the mission of his Father.
Yep.
It's more important for you to fulfill your assignment than it is for you to fulfill your dreams.
That's right.
The blessings, the healings, and the power that he displayed across the world were because of how much his life was centered around prayer. His perseverance and his steadfastness in prayer were the process by which the wealthiest supplies of God were gained. Did you hear that? His perseverance and his steadfastness in prayer were the process by which the wealthiest supplies of God were gained. Philippians says that we receive everything because my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in
glory.
Where's everything you and I need? In the kingdom of God. Amen? And so what did Jesus do? How did he ascend and descend while he was on the earth before he went? How was he seated in heavenly places?
By prayer.
By prayer.
Yep.
Amen? And you know, you just have to read the book of John. You know, I don't want to do my own will. I only want to do what my Father says. You know, I my meat is to do the will of the one who sent me. The works that I do are not my works, but they're the works of the Father that sent me. All those types of things are Jesus saying, I'm getting my assignment, and then the grace and the power, what did it say here? The blessings, the healings, and the power that he displayed across the world were because of how much his life was centered around prayer. What was he doing? He was tapping into the reality that he was walking as a man on the earth, but he was connected directly to the kingdom of heaven and the grace available in that kingdom, and by prayer was laying hold of what was needed through grace and bringing it into the earth to do what he was called to do.
Amen? Yep.
Amen?
Yeah.
And you can do the same.
Amen.
You can do the same. But he had to show perseverance and steadfastness in prayer. He had to do something. It didn't fall like ripe cherries off a tree. Or plums or peaches. We were in Niagara and went through the... We actually did a little side trip this time. We had a little bit of time. And I got off the beaten track. And I took some of these little... They were some of them not much more than a cow path. Mm-hmm. Into the orchards. And Pastor Irene got some amazing pictures of the fruit. The, you know, we went through vineyards like that. And I put one thing, you know... You see a vineyard with the grapes just loaded and starting to ripen. And I said, there's something spiritual about that for me. Because the Bible talks so much about, you know, the new wine and grapes and abundance. And that's what you see. Seed time and harvest. It was spiritual for me. Because it made the word come alive. Amen? And so we see that Jesus... He spent that time getting his assignment and then doing it. And because he did, the grace was there for him to fulfill everything that the Father had called him to do. And it's no different for you and I, because you and I are sitting in the seat of grace. You're not going to be, you already are. Amen. Which is God saying that I've already made available to you every provision that you need for you to do what I've called you to do.
Amen.
When he says, go lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover, he's put within you the ability to lay hands on the sick and see the sick recover. Mm-hmm. When he commands you to cast out devils, he's put within you the power and the ability to cast out devils. Another thing that I got in the last few weeks that just kind of just almost blew my mind in a way, and it's not that I hadn't known it, I just hadn't seen it in the same way, is when Jesus crossed the lake, they had a storm. He says, peace be still. The storm calms down. You know, the disciples are fearing for their life. He gets to the beach. And the first man that comes at him is the Gadarene demoniac. Amen? We just had a rough night. Our day's not starting much better. Right? And when Jesus asked the name, the demons inside said legion, which means many. Amen? And yet the Bible says that that man with many demons fell on his knees and worshiped Jesus. And we're concerned about casting the devil out of somebody? A legion of demons. And we know there was at least 2,000 because they went in 2,000 pigs.
Amen, brother.
Right? A legion of demons didn't have enough power to stop one man's will from kneeling to Jesus. And so when he tells you to go cast out demons, go do it. Knowing that you have grace and it's on you to do it. Now, don't get weird. Let me qualify that. There's not a demon behind every bush. All right? Because that's what happens. Sometimes then, you know, we went through a time where, you know, somebody read in here that there was principalities and powers and spiritual wicked in high places. And what do? They started spending, you know, $2,000 an hour in an airplane to start coming against those principalities. That's just being weird.
Yeah.
And not everybody that has something is dealing with a demon. We live in a fallen world. Amen? But if you're sensitive, that man needs deliverance. He needs to be set free. Amen? And I believe, as our daughter-in-law prays, the opportunity will become for, you know, there was a song years back where, and it was kind of dealing with people that were having issues in life. It's like, don't laugh at me. And as much as, you know, somebody could have saw the humor in that, I didn't see it as funny at all. I my heart just went to him, and it's like, God, this isn't right.
Amen.
Jesus died that he could be set free.
Amen.
Right? And so I say that to say that there are times where, you know, you'll be able to cast the devil out of somebody. But they have to be willing. They have to be willing. You know, Brother Hagin would talk about people sometimes. He said, you know, you couldn't get results, and then you'd find out later that they didn't want to be free.
Right.
I can tell you stories out of this own church. We've had people, not since I've been pastor, but when Pastor Irene and I were a part of this 35 years ago, we've had people in this very church that believed in healing, that believed it was God's will for them to be healed, but didn't want to be healed because if they were healed, they'd lose their welfare check or their social assistance check. And then they would have to go to work. Well, I can lay hands on them till the cows come home, but if they're not willing to receive it, nothing's going to happen.
Yep.
And that's not my fault as the one laying the hands on. That's not God's fault. The power is available. It's on the recipient. Amen? And so the same is here. But I'm saying this to say the same access that Jesus had, you know, and the reason he used the natural to emphasize or to parallel the kingdom is to say, if you can get the concept here, then you'll understand how it works here. And God's called you and I as the body of Christ to be the, quote, vehicle, if you will, or the conduit. The word I used to get that money to Beirut from the church, as I said, I'm thankful that you were a channel, right? It would have been very hard for us to just send money to somebody in Beirut, but we had a channel to get what needed to get there. And you and I are the channel. We're the conduit. We're the vehicle whereby the kingdom of heaven is supposed to show up on earth.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be that this world just goes on the way it is. It's supposed to be that as you and I understand who we are, seated in the seat of grace, that we now lay hold of what's been laid hold of for us, and we transfer it as a channel into the earth. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
And it'll come exactly the same way. You know, and there's all different ways. The Bible talks about, you know, just look up the word gift or grace. We often quote Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, talking about renewing our mind, that we might know that good, that perfect and acceptable will of God. But the very next part of that chapter talks about the graces given. Amen? And those graces are varied. You know, the gifts are varied. Hospitality is mentioned. I think I've shared it with you. My mom has the gift of hospitality. My mom could get surprised that 35 people are coming and somehow she'll have an amazing meal for all of them.
That's a miracle.
And it's absolutely no big deal to her. Is that right, Irene?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, did I tell you? I told you before about the tour buses that showed up at their house.
No.
My parents went on a tour in Holland, visiting Holland maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and ended up in a friendship with the tour director of the tour in Holland. And he said, oh, I also do organized tours in Canada. And for years, every probably May or June, two big MCI coaches would show up on our country road, parked by my parents' mailbox, and 70 or 80 Dutch tourists would get off and go have lunch in my parents' basement. Because
wow.
It became a stop on the tour. Because
wow.
My mom had the gift of hospitality.
Wow.
And I can tell you of a surety, obviously not everybody that does a tour is born again. I can tell you of a surety that my dad ended up having, almost became like pen pals. Now, today it was over the internet. You know, you could communicate. But people that would visit him in his basement and they could minister the love of God because those people were invited into their home. Because
wow.
You would walk into my parents' home and it didn't take long to look around to realize that this is a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So there's the gift of hospitality. There, you know, the Bible mentions all kinds of things. Liberal giving. You know, God can bless somebody. We had an acquaintance. He came to us one night and he said, you know, and we were pretty close. He said, it seems like healing just always works for you guys just like that. And he said, everything I touch turns to gold. Just making money just happened for him. It was the easiest thing in the world.
He
didn't put any effort into it, any more effort than anybody else would, but it was his gift, and he was a liberal giver. Amen?
Amen.
And he understood that that was his gift, or one of the gifts. But he also understood that there was things in us that were harder for him, so he said, I want to help you guys to get this, lay hold of this financial side. He said, and I want to lay hold of some of these other things that you guys seem to walk in easily. That's why it's important for the body of Christ to be together.
Amen.
And it's so wrong if you start comparing your gift.
Amen?
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It's so wrong for us to, you know, be content with what God's given us and develop that to the best. How does it say? You know? To he who has more will be given. To you, you know, and if you don't, the talents is, if you don't use what you got, you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs says, if you're faithful with that which is little, more will be added. The worst thing we can do is go, well, I want his gift. Well, I'm not called to business like that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, I see some people work in the stock market and I go, man, and I'm not saying I can't do it, but it just comes natural and easy for them. You know, somebody that knows how to run IT stuff, soundboards, and you know, man, I never knock the gift of somebody that can sit at a soundboard or control room in a church and do the whole media department.
Amen.
Because I know it's not my gift.
Amen.
That's why I had to give my computer to Pastor Irene, because I can't even figure out how to turn it on half the time. Did you know I have never yet one time in my life, other than in an email, I have not known how to format a letter on a, you know, and stick it into, you know, it's like I'm trying to center a page and my paragraphs are going, you know.
Yeah.
And then you know what I want to do, because it's so not my gift? I want to throw the computer.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean I can't learn, but I don't have the aptitude to even want to learn, because it's not what God's called me to do.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that's an excuse for not getting better at it. My wife's wagging her finger at me.
Yeah.
But it's just not in my, I don't even want to say natural, it's just not in my wheelhouse. It never was. I failed two courses in high school, computer science and, oh, three, computer science, typing, and French. I still type like this. I do. And it's really bad at night when I don't have good light, because then I have to put my screen, because I don't have a clue where the keys are, and if I don't see them. So that's why you don't get many less typed things from me, because I hate typing. That's why I still do my messages like this. I write them out. I'd much rather use a pen. So I say that to say there's gifts in all of you. Amen? And cultivate those things, because connected to your assignment is the giftings that God has placed on your life. And don't compare. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus, amen? We all believe that, right?
Yep.
We all know that, the word tells us. If anybody had an opportunity to look and go, wow, I wish I had what he has, it was John the Baptist. But instead, he had this heart that said, he must increase and I must decrease. Because John had a kingdom of God mentality. And the world's been saying, we're all in this together. Well, the truth is, in the church, we're all in this together, and we have been for a long time. But we haven't acted like we're all in this together. I'll tell you a little funny thing that came up this week. It was a commercial for Air Canada. And Air Canada, you know, everybody's jumping on these bandwagons, the new normal, the new this, the... Well, Air Canada's little thing at the end of their ad, their slogan now is, we're all in this together. And one of the rebuttals to the ad was, what do you mean we're all in this together? We weren't all in this together in February when my bag weighed 52 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? But we are all in this together. I've got more to share. I've got more things to say. Let me share. I'm going to share three quotes with you that I've shared over the last several weeks. I have a whole lot more. And I've decided this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to, everything I've quoted, I'm going to put on a sheet, because they're good little things to just read once in a while over. They come from various sources, various ministers, and I want to just, so this is what the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago. He said, it's impossible to do exploits for God and remain where your flesh is comfortable.
That's right.
Living this faith life takes risk. And if you're always living it comfortable, you'll never walk in what God has called you to walk in. Amen? God didn't call us to keep our flesh comfortable.
Amen.
I find the more that I'm pushing forward, my flesh is rebelling in ways that my flesh has never rebelled. And I have a new phrase for it, and it's called shut up.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm always telling it to shut up. I've been reminding myself of what Brother... I've been reminding my flesh of what Brother Hagin would do. He would be praying and his flesh would be rebelling that he was praying too long. And he would say, if you don't shut up, we're going to go another 2 hours. Right? He was telling his flesh, you know, you're not in charge. And he said before long, it started to quiet down because it didn't like what would happen when it. And you do have to do that. And I find the more and more I'm pressing in or pushing forward, there's some things that are very uncomfortable for my flesh, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean it's not God. Did you hear that? Actually, when it's uncomfortable, it probably means the opposite, that it is God. Because it's the flesh that wants to do all the things that is in that list of things that we're not supposed to be doing. It's not the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. Another one is this, and this is an unknown one, and I'd love this one. It says, commitment is that turning point in your life when you seize the moment and convert it into an opportunity to alter your destiny.
Amen.
Do you want me to say it again? Commitment is that, and who makes commitment? Commitment comes from who? It's not a trick question. I decide. It's a choice.
Yeah, it is.
I decide whether I'm going to be committed or whether I'm not going to be committed. Right?
Yeah.
So, and another word, I would describe commitment as a quality decision.
Mm-hmm.
Could I say it that way? It's where you say, this is what we're going to do and I'm not backing away from it. So commitment is that turning point in your life when you seize the moment and convert it into an opportunity to alter your destiny. Somebody said this week to me, he came up and said, what did you do today to work towards your five-year goal? And I thought it was an awesome, awesome question, right? It's where we seize the moment and convert it into the opportunity to alter your destiny. And some of the rebuttals to it, some of the responses were, I paid $800 off my car loan today of the principal because my goal is to be debt free.
Yeah.
Well, so if your goal is to be debt free, then you do things today because of commitment that help you to attain that goal.
Amen?
That's just an example. And then this one, Jen Tringle. Lay down every reason you can't. Release any excuse for why you couldn't. Repent of every place you said you won't. And simply give God your yes. There is power in that quote.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because we all make excuses. We all tell God why we can't. You know, you just read the Bible. Moses told God why he couldn't. Did it stop Moses from doing what God called him to?
No.
Gideon told God he couldn't. Did it stop Gideon from doing what God told him to do? No. And the Bible is full of where we just, for with God all things are possible.
Amen?
Amen? Pat, you can do the works of Jesus.
Yeah.
And greater works, Pat.
Amen.
You can do it. Amen? And next week, if we get there, we'll talk about some other. I'm going to finish with this. And I love this. Shane Philpott again. Some of these people come up with some good ones. I post some too, but I never read them to you. So they're probably quoting me in their churches. Maybe. You know, my wife says mine are corny, so. He said on August 27th, and this is awesome, it's never too late to change how our story will end because our story is still being written.
Amen.
The pages of the book are still being filled. We can't stop living life when bad things happen. We must never get stuck reliving past chapters and agonizing over what went wrong. God used Joseph after his betrayal. God used Samson after he lost his strength. God used Peter after he denied Christ. God used Paul after he persecuted the church. The story of our life will never finish, or the story of our life will never finish right if we keep trying to edit the past. We must keep writing new chapters. Life will not be measured by any one individual chapter. Life will be measured by the totality of the book.
Amen.
Amen? And I'll probably read that one again because we're going to look at what Paul said, where he said, talks about pressing on, forgetting the things that are behind. But I say this to say that, you know, we're talking about reset, things like that. You know, I've mentioned it. It's a decision. Commitment is making a turning point from where we are today. And what happened yesterday is yesterday. Amen. But what happened yesterday doesn't determine how God can use you today and tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen? If you'll allow him to do it. And he wants to use you. And age isn't a factor. It's not a factor. Caleb said, at 80, give me my mountain.
Amen.
Moses didn't start his ministry till he was 80. Everything else was preparation.
Amen.
I'm still preparing. I got 20 more years of preparation going on. And preparation time is never lost or wasted time.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Preparation time is never lost or wasted time. So be the best you can be today. Amen? And tomorrow. And we'll pick up with this moving forward. Amen?
Amen?
I found some of the things that I wanted to share with you. I didn't find them all. But there's another week. I'll still look for a few more. Praise God. Let's all stand. My wife's doing something again. But she's got a mask on, and I can't see what she's doing under that mask. Again, people, if you're not wearing a mask, and we should be, then make sure we social distance, all right? Let me dismiss you guys a minute. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and grant you his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder, if you have filled out your offering envelope, then just drop it in the basket as you walk by Pastor Irene's desk there. All right?